Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we hope to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrodsburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files. You'll also find a host of Bible videos that are 30 minutes in length on differing subjects, and a lot of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. You'll also find out some more information about us. At the end of this broadcast, we'll give you the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We want nothing from you. Just come with an open Bible, an open mind, and worship and study God with us so we can show you a need for God in your life and you have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sin. We have been looking at questions from God's Word and questions about spiritual matters that we are giving biblical answers. And so we're going to continue that this morning. And our question is, how often did the early church meet for worship? Let's begin by reading some passages. First of all, from Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his speech till midnight. Then we want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, I have given order to the church of the Galatia, and so you must also do. Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by in store as he has prospered, that there be no collections when I come. And then one other passage, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, in the passages that we have read this morning, we see by the pattern in the New Testament, by the New Testament church, that they met, we know, at least on the first day of the week. They met on the first day of the week. Why? In order to remember the Lord's Supper and also to give of their means as they were commanded by God. Now, those are things that we can only do on the first day of the week. And we do them when we are together as a congregation, because they are duties that we take out as a group, but it is an individual responsibility, and we do it when we are together worshiping God. And so that is why if you come to one of our services on Wednesday, that you will not see us take up a collection. Why? Because that's not the authorized day. The only authorized day to take up a free will offering is on the first day of the week. And we don't offer the Lord's Supper on any other day than on Sunday. Why? Because that's the approved example that we see in Acts 20 and verse number 7. And so we're following the biblical pattern. Now, if you remember the passage that we read in Hebrews chapter 10, you remember that the command was not to forsake the assemblings of yourself together. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the assemblings is a plural word, and so it means more than one. And so whenever the church comes together, then we should, if we love God, if we love our brethren, then we should be with them, and we should be here in order that we could worship God, we could study about God from His Word, and that we can encourage and provoke one another to good works. And so we know at least the disciples met upon the first day of the week. But if you go through the book of Acts and you look at the history of the early church in the New Testament, you'll find they not only worshiped publicly, but they went from house to house, and they had private meetings. They had private meetings where they would go and they would study and they would learn from God's word and they would encourage one another. And so we see private Bible studies that were had during the week, and that they did this regularly as a pattern of the relationship that they had with the Lord's church. Now again, we know two things. We know that the early church met upon the first day of the week, because that's when they remembered the Lord's death by observing the Lord's Supper, and we know that's when they gave of their means in order that the work of the church might continue. So those things are still necessary today, and so we know that it's authorized and it's acceptable to meet upon the first day of the week. Now let us ask another question. How many times on the Lord's Day? Well, the Bible really doesn't tell us how many times on the Lord's Day. We noticed in Acts 20, because Paul was getting ready to go on a journey, and this was probably the last time that he would see some of these people, especially the elders from Ephesus and Miletus there, that he spoke to them till midnight, because he wanted to share with them some things that he wanted them to know and to remember in their duties to God. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to come together and meet till midnight. We just see that on this occasion, that was done because of a special situation where the Apostle Paul was not going to be there again. Now, whenever we meet together, whether we meet in the morning or evening, and here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, we meet in the evening on Sunday as well as in the morning. We meet three times on Sunday, for Bible study at 9:30, for worship at 10:20, and again at 6:30 for evening worship. Now, are all of them mandatory? Well, let me ask you a question. Is it mandatory that on the Lord's Day that we should want to be with God, with his people, and learning about him and worshiping him and studying from his word? Is that something that we should have a desire to do? And the answer to that's yes. And so what reason would you give why you can only be at one service and the other two are not important? Again, that would be a conclusion drawn by people who really and truly don't love the Lord or don't love their brethren. Now, there may be extenuating circumstances. There may be you live far away, or you're older and you don't get out at night, or you're ill, or you have to work. There are extenuating circumstances, and that's between you and God, and he understands that. But if we are able, we should be willing and we should desire to be here with God and his people in order to provoke one another, to encourage one another, and more than that, to learn more about God so we can be better equipped to live the Christian life in order to help those who are in the world, who are lost, and those who are misguided, so we can help them see the truth of the gospel. Now, we also here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, twice a year, have special services that we call gospel meetings. And these gospel meetings run from Sunday through Friday. And we meet Monday through Friday evening at 7 p.m. each night for services where we sing and pray, and we have a speaker who speaks from God's word. Now, again, those are situations that we have deemed necessary for our spiritual growth, for our spiritual edification, and we offer them not only to our members, but we make advertisements and we offer the public to come and to worship and hear God's word proclaimed, in order that we might, if they don't know it, might introduce them to it, or if they do know it, to reinforce and edify them in things that might be helpful to them or things that might be troubling. And it's for the edification of the church, which is one of the works of the church. Now, again, those are judgments. Some people have one meeting a year. Some people have more than one or more than two. Some people have shorter in length. But the question that we're considering today is when the church assembles, is it necessary for me to be here? Let me ask this in the flip side. Why would it be unnecessary for you to be here? What reason would you give if the church is meeting to have a service in order to study God's word, to encourage brethren and to edify them, and to share the gospel with those who are lost, and to help provoke one another to good love and good works? What reason would you give for not being here, who not wanting to be with God and his people in order to study and further understand your responsibilities and duty for God? Instead of asking me why you have to be here, tell me why you would not want to be here. Whenever I'm asked a question by members of the Lord's church, do I have to do something of one thing or another that we're talking about? My answer to that's always the same. You don't have to do anything. If you have to be prodded and pushed in order to do something, your heart's really not in it. That's really not something that you're desiring to do, and therefore it's not really profiting you any, it's not helping you any, and God's not going to look at it favorably if you're here but you really don't want to be here. And so each of us have to make a decision about what we're going to do with our time and our opportunities that we come together to worship God. And so when we come together, our desire and our heart should be that we want to be here. If we can possibly be here, if our health is good, if we're not working because we have a job and responsibilities, or if we're sick and we can't be here, but if we're healthy and if we're able, and if it doesn't interfere with responsibilities that we might have on the job, what reason would any Christian give for not wanting to be with God's people, to open up the pages of his word, to petition the throne of mercy and grace, and to encourage and provoke one another to good works and to be edified in the preaching and the teaching of the gospel? What reason would one give as an excuse for not to be here? Again, nobody's going to force the issue. Nobody can make you do it, and nobody's going to make you do it. God can't make you do it. The devil can't make you not do it. It's a choice. It's a decision that we make. And the same is true on the Lord's Day. Maybe you have a headache. Well, maybe you think, well, I have a headache, I'll just stay home. But come Monday morning, you'll get up with that same headache and you'll go to work. You won't miss a day of work. Or if you're in school, in college or in high school, you're not going to miss school because you have a headache, but we'll look for excuses why we can't be with God's people. The bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, is whenever the doors of the church are open, people who love God, people who love his word, and people who want to encourage and be edified and help encourage and edify others, where else would you be? Where else should you want to be? And where else can you spend better time and quality time than being in the presence of God and in the presence of his people? How often do we meet? As often as the doors are open, we should want to be here. And we invite you at any time on the Lord's Day at the three services that we have, please come and worship God with us.